Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be.
The mouth that roared. No, not me. Howard Cosell. Great Howard Cosell, calling the great fights. Of course, back in the days, wide world of sports. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This hour, you're inside looking to the world of boxing. In the upcoming hour, we're going to talk MMA with the man that had the audacity. I mean, people thought he was crazy. He put the UFC on TV back in 1993. This MMA tournament that people thought was like a freak show, but now, of course, it's kicking ass. It's a billion-dollar industry around the world, the UFC kicking ass. But 1993, when it first started, they didn't even have a TV contract to put it on pay-per-view until an hour before the event. Art Davey, live on Ring Talk Live Worldwide in hour number two right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the iHeartRadio Network, and, of course, Sirius Satellite XM Radio, Channel 93. Amir Khan's on the line. Of course, he's training in the Bay Area now. We call him a California boy. He's one of our California guys here in the San Francisco Bay Area training with Virgil Hunter. Hey, Virgil's a pretty cool dude. Does Virgil ever lose his cool at all?
No, Virgil's very cool. You know, he's very chilled out and stuff, and he's very calm. He's a great trainer. I mean, he's one of them type of trainers that he'll talk to you. He'll put it into your head what to do, and he's not one of them trainers who yell at you and kind of make you...
But he almost seems like he's on heroin.
...force it upon you. I'm sorry?
He almost seems like he's on heroin. I mean, he's like so mellow. It's unbelievable.
So mellow, yeah, very mellow. No, he's very mellow. But I think that's the best way of teaching somebody because, you know, I think it's been like whenever someone shouts at you, you're never going to take him seriously. But when someone tells you quietly, and then you're going to be like, wait a minute, you know, this guy's probably telling the truth. He's serious about it and stuff. And he respects his fighters. I mean, he doesn't look at us like kids or anything. We are adults. We are grown men as well. So he respects us that way. And he's only telling us stuff that he knows that it is going to work for us and make us a better fighter. I mean, he has a lot of respect for myself, for Andre Ward. And we respect him back that way as well. So, you know, when someone respects you and doesn't shout at you or doesn't scream at you, then you're going to respect that person even more. So I think Virgil has that kind of approach.
You know, trainers that screamed at me that didn't work, and I ended up leaving them and not staying with them for more than one fight. I had a couple of guys that liked to scream when I was a young guy. I don't like people that screaming. Screaming stuff just doesn't work with me. I got to ask you this. Manny Pacquiao, according to Paulie Malignaggi, who you stopped in 11 rounds, Paulie Malignaggi says that Manny Pacquiao has not looked good since we all said he was taking steroids and we were on his butt about it, and he hasn't looked good since, but his head has grown still. What do you think Manny's taking stuff? Do you think Manny's taking stuff?
I mean, it's hard to say. Look, I've trained with a guy, I've sparred with him, and Manny's a friend of mine as well. I mean, look, it's hard to say because, look, there's been so many people saying that he's been on or something, but I've never seen him do anything silly like that. I've been to training camp with him in the Philippines. I've been to training camp with him in LA. And, you know, I've heard a lot of stuff from reading stuff, but I've never really seen him do anything silly like that. So I can't really answer that question, but...
I will ask you this one question then. You are a boxing purist, no doubt about it. Can anybody go from 107 to 147 pounds and not put on an ounce of fat?
It's very hard. It's very hard to do that because he's not really the tallest. But, I mean, look, you know, I know one thing. That when Manny trains, he trains very hard. So, you know, when a guy trains very hard, I mean, I think he can do anything, you know.
Okay. When you want people to look back, and your legacy is not set yet, but when you want people to look back at Amir Khan, what do you want them to think about? First of all, Amir Khan the person. What do you want them to think about Amir Khan the person?
You know, I mean, I want to be one guy who gives, does a lot for charity and does a lot for his people. Also, in the boxing life, I want people to remember me as a great champion, and a champion who, when I used to come to fight, I come to fight. I'm not like one of them guys who will run around the boxing ring. I mean, you know, that's sometimes Floyd, just maybe sometimes people don't give him that kind of respect for winning a fight when he starts to run in the last round, like the Maidana fight. And just gone. I mean, the last round spoiled the whole fight for him, I believe, because he started to run around the ring and run away from Maidana, and the whole crowd started to boo him. And before, in those 11 rounds, it was going really well. It was just a 12th round that.
Okay, I got one question for you before I let you go. Okay, telling question. Does Floyd Mayweather have a little bitch in him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Always complaining. Yeah.
You know what?
And look, you know, if you're a man, I mean, somebody else just, you know, swallow it and say, look, That's it, man, whatever. But sometimes he does kind of sometimes whine a little bit and stuff. Mm. And I mean, look, you're in a man sport. I mean, act like a man, you know.
Well, you've always acted like a man. I thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I feel honored. You're in the Bay Area. We can get together and do this again real soon. When you get a fight, I need to know. Okay, Amir?
Yeah, look, definitely. If you're in the gym or whatever, just get in touch with myself or Virgil. We'd like you to come down and see us train or whatever, yeah.
All the best to you, my friend. Good luck.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. From Amir Khan, we take it to Big Bear, California, folks. Where's Big Bear? Well, it's like this mountain resort near L.A. It's got snow in the wintertime, and it's hot in the summertime. And Abel Sanchez has a training camp up there, of course. Abel Sanchez, trainer extraordinaire, broke out with the Norris brothers, Orla and Terry Norris, back in the day. And now, of course, he trains Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, in action this Saturday, October 18th, the StubHub Center, Carson, California, against Marco Antonio Rubio. Mr. Sanchez, always a pleasure. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Pedro. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How's life treating you?
Great, man.
How's your lovely wife and family?
They're doing very well. Thank you very much.
That's good. How's Triple G now? He was supposed to spend some time with me today. He's tired, not feeling well. What?
No, I try to give him Sundays of where I don't bother him. We work him hard enough for 6 days, so the Sundays is his day. So he asked me, since being so close to the fight, that let him rest and let him do the things. He's going off the mountain to get a haircut or something like that. So he's taking his time.
What does he do in his off time? If he's such an ardent gym rat in the gym, what does he do when he's not in the gym?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. He believes when he goes home to his wife and his kids and does nothing about boxing. When he comes to camp, he trains him. He runs in the morning, trains in the afternoon, and they watch TV. They play chess. They play checkers. They play cards, watch movies, but nothing to do with boxing. When he's in the gym, that's his time to do the boxing. When he's outside the gym, it's his time to do his thing.
How's the English coming?
It's coming along. We've got a teacher working with him. Hopefully, he progresses as fast and as good as he's progressing in the boxing ring. But it's something that he speaks four different languages. He speaks three. He's trying to master the fourth. So it's a little difficult for him, but he's getting it.
Do you think Roberto Duran would have been a bigger star if he'd have learned English?
Oh, absolutely. Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., Felix Trinidad. I mean, they were all super, superstars, and I think the English would have helped convey how they feel to the public. You know, it's hard to understand and believe a translator all the time.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Historically, do you rate Ray Leonard or Roberto Duran 1 and 2? I mean, where do you rate those guys as far as against each other is concerned?
As a lightweight, let's go at their best weights. As a lightweight, Duran, and Leonard as a welterweight, I'd have to say Duran was number one and Leonard was number two. As they get up in weight, I think Leonard was able to amend his style to be effective in the ring, where Duran was basically the same kind of guy, attacking guy that he was at 35.
Yeah.
So at a later stage, I would have to say Ray Leonard.
But do you remember that ring they put Duran in that night in New Orleans? It was like 24 feet to the ropes. You're laughing. Roberto wasn't laughing.
You know what? I'm laughing because that's where Ray Leonard learned how to adjust his game inside and outside the ring. I mean, obviously, Duran's people were not savvy enough at the time to change that or have questioned that, but that was very smart on Ray Leonard's part.
Well, old man O'Grady, I don't know if you remember Pat O'Grady, but Sean O'Grady's father, he was going to fight Howard Davis on CBS or NBC television, and Howard Davis pulled out 3 days before the fight, and they got like a 13.5-foot, I kid you not, like a 14-foot ring at the max, okay? So they put this little small ring in expecting Howard Davis to run, and instead Davis was pulled out. They brought in Andy Gannigan from Hawaii, who's a southpaw puncher who knocked Sean out like in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, so it worked the opposite for them. They were looking for an advantage, and it ended up being a disadvantage with a different guy.
Okay, 30-0, 27 KOs. I call him a kid because essentially he still is a kid, Gennady Golovkin, Triple G superstar that he is. When do you see him peaking as an athlete? You watch him every day. When do you think he'll make it hit his peak?
You know, this young man is such a talent that first time that we're going to see that talent come out is when one of the major names steps up and fights him. And the major names that everybody thinks is a major name. The big champions, whether it be Ward or whether it be if he gets through with all his shenanigans that's going on up there with Goosen or if it's Quillen, one of those guys. Once he steps up, if he can't handle these guys, then well, then a lot of the people that were saying was a hype were right. But I think that he'll be able to deal with all those guys. He just needs the challenge. As Andre, as Floyd, as Manny, when they get a challenge, they rise up. Hopefully this kid, when he gets that challenge, he'll rise like that.
Abel Sanchez is our guest. Of course, we're talking boxing, folks. He trains Gennady Golovkin, 30-0, 27 KOs, taking on Marco Antonio Rubio Saturday night, HBO Championship Boxing from the StubHub Center in Carson, California. Gennady, a pretty good favorite. Now, I guess that Gennady would be favored over anybody at 160 right now. And so what does that say? He's not the linear world champion. These other guys are running around as the linear world champion, Miguel Cotto. He's going to fight Saul Alvarez probably. So it's probably going to be the winner of the Alvarez-Cotto fight if they want to fight Golovkin. But I'm telling you, if I were these guys, I think I'd run from him.
Well, so far.
They are running.
Right. Yeah, they are running. And so far, that's been the problem. But our main concern is to keep him busy. He's only been on a U.S. market, HBO, since September 1st, I think, 2012. So it's only been two years and a month. So we're not, I think that we're doing well. I think that we are progressing the way they were supposed to. If in the next couple of years we get those named fighters, then it'll be 4 years. I mean, how long does it take really a superstar to get to that point? I think we're doing fine. He's not frustrated about it. We're not frustrated about it. We'll just take the next one that comes up and do the same thing.
You know, I heard you one time sort of compare him to Ray Robinson, saying that you think he's the best fighter possibly since Ray Robinson. You still stand by that?
I don't know. What I said was that he was going to go down in history as a great fighter like Ray Robinson.
Oh, excuse me.
Ray Robinson was you can't compare. In fact, that's one of Gennady's idols is Ray Robinson. I think that Ray Robinson is at the top of the middleweight, but Gennady wouldn't be too far behind him. In time, if we get the fight, so that's the whole problem. When Ray was fighting, he fought everybody, and everybody fought him. Today, it seems like nobody wants to get in and prove. Like when Ray Leonard, Benitez, Duran, Hagler, and all those guys,
Hearns,
you know, all those guys were doing their thing. They were doing it against each other, and one guy lost against this guy, and he won against the other guy. So I think that we need that again. And Gennady keeps asking for that. He wants to determine who the best at 150 is if they're willing to do it.
You mentioned Ray Robinson, Abel Sanchez, our guest, the trainer of Gennady Golovkin. You mentioned Ray Robinson. Last time I saw Ray, I was sitting in his hotel room in the Aladdin Hotel in June of 1984. Tommy Hearns had knocked out Roberto Duran the day before, and he was sitting there in a pink bathrobe with a pink shower cap on.
That must have been a sight.
Yeah, you know. And he signed this contract, best wishes to Pedro Sugar Ray Robinson. I mean, it was incredible. I had a great time.
Yeah, I bet you did. I would have loved to have met him. You know, some of these guys that we talk about every day, there's very few people get the privilege, as you did, to be around them, to talk to them, to pick their brain, to just find out what their thoughts are. It's unfortunate that I wasn't in that room with you to try to talk to them.
Okay, but you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I think it's an honor to spend time with you, okay? I really do. I think you're an honorable man. You've always been an honorable guy. You've always been straight up. You've always been a stand-up guy. There's no scandals attached to Abel Sanchez, be it inside the ring, outside the ring. I mean, I don't want to call you like the Leave It to Beaver of boxing or anything like that, but, you know, you set a good example.
Well, I think that we owe it to our fans. I think that we owe it to the people that spend their hard-earned money to go watch our guys fight, not talk and not run, but to actually fight. And we owe it to them to teach our guys to entertain. And I believe that when I had Terry, I believe that now, and I'll believe it till I finish. But I honestly think that our fans spend a heck of a lot of money to see us fight, and we owe it to them.
Okay, in less than a minute, tell me, what does Marco Antonio Rubio bring to the dance Saturday?
Experience
and power?
I wouldn't say power. I'd say experience. I think his power is
overrated.
He's nothing to Chavez. I think he could not overrated. He punches, but I mean, against whom? I think that Rubio is the experience of being in a big fight is one thing that we have not had. We have not had that 9,000 people screaming, 9,000 Mexicans screaming, and it's going to be a ruckus crowd. So that part of it is one thing that we need to hopefully one of these days go a little longer and get that kind of experience.
Abel Sanchez, always an honor, always a privilege. Take care of the family. I hope to talk to Gennady real soon. God bless you, man.
Thank you, Pedro. Thank you very much.
The great Abel Sanchez, folks, trainer extraordinaire, Big Bear, California, is what he calls home. Of course, he trains his fighters down there as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the iHeartRadio Network, and, of course, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 93. Next up on the upcoming hour of Ring Talk Live worldwide, Art Davey, the man that brought us the first UFC back in 1993, talks about the UFC and the perils involved.